Right now, new research shows that a growing number of teens aren't reading books. In fact, a third of them haven't read a book or an e-book for fun in the past year. And they're not much into newspapers either. Only 2% of sophomores read them daily compared to 33% in the early 1990s. So what are they doing? Lots of web surfing and gadget time. In 2016, the average high school senior spent 6 hours a day online. That's twice as much as in the previous decade. Gene Twenge is a psychology professor at San Diego State University and the author of iGen, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood. She's also the lead author of the reading study. Gene, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, spell out the basics of the findings. How much less are kids reading nowadays?
A lot less. So if you look at 12th graders, 17 and 18-year-olds, if you ask them if they read a book, a magazine, or a newspaper, how often they do that, back in the late 1970s, about 60% said they read every day. And now it's about 16%.
It's a big drop, and as we talked to you about your book a while back, what they're doing instead is digital stuff, right?
That's what it looks like. So, you know, a little bit of that shift is that they might be reading short newspaper articles or short magazine articles online, but it probably doesn't account for the drop in books. If you're reading a book, you know you're reading a book, whether it's, you know, in print or on an iPad. So what's really increased is the amount of time teens spend online and on social media and playing games and watching videos online. That seems to be what has replaced reading long-form text like books and magazine articles.
Is this necessarily a bad thing? Is this a negative thing that kids aren't reading books or e-books like they used to?
Well, I think so, mostly because they're just not getting that experience reading long-form text. So they might be well-informed and be able to look up information quickly, and that's great, and that's one of the benefits of the Internet age. But they're not getting the practice with sitting and reading one thing for more than, you know, 20 minutes at a time. When you're online, you're switching tasks so quickly. And then they end up in college and get handed an 800-page textbook. And they're going to need to sit down and read that for a longer period of time and concentrate and learn how to think critically and learn how to understand complex issues. And they just don't have as much experience doing that when they enter college.
Now, your survey was looking at reading, I guess, kind of on their own time, as I understand it. Presumably, kids are still being handed books to read in junior high and high school. Is that enough?
So, yes, our survey does ask about reading for pleasure. It's specifically mentioned to that they want to know about reading outside of what's assigned for school. I don't know of any systematic data on what's being assigned for school, but I have heard anecdotally from teachers that more and more students complain about being assigned books and longer readings, and that a lot of classrooms have kind of responded to that and moved toward more videos and shorter text. So they're not even getting as much long-form text reading in school.
Now, this follows up on a lot of research you did for your book, iGen. You're seeing a real generational change. Something very fundamental, you say, is changing about this younger generation. How does this change in reading fit into that?
Well, what's really shifted is that the way teens spend their leisure time has fundamentally changed. So if you think about even 10 or 15 years ago, how teens spent their time, most of it was hanging out with their friends. And when they weren't doing that, they might be reading or, you know, tinkering around the house. And now the vast majority of teens' leisure time is spent with screens on phones and tablets or in front of gaming consoles. It's these screen activities, which, you know, used for a limited amount of time are not necessarily bad, but they now take up so much time that they're crowding out the amount of time teens used to spend hanging out with each other face-to-face, reading, and sleeping. And those are three things that we know are linked to good mental health and happiness. Screen time, if anything, is linked to less happiness. So that's a the difficulty, the challenge of this internet era is we have teens spending their leisure time in a way that's not conducive to their mental health.
Talking to Gene Twenge, psychology professor at San Diego State University, author of the book iGen, about some new research she's done on reading among teens. It's down, way down over the last few decades. So, Gene, what, I don't know if anything, could we do to turn the tide here?
Well, you know, I think that in some ways this is a good news story, at least in terms of mental health and happiness, because so many things that are behind how happy we are or mental health are things that we can't change, like genetic predisposition or trauma or poverty. But we can choose how we spend our leisure time, and we can help our kids and teens make good choices about how they spend their leisure time. And if they want to spend an hour or so on social media or watching videos, that's fine, an hour or so a day. But 2 hours a day and beyond is where these negative effects seem to show up. So if we can limit that screen time to 2 hours a day or less, that leaves more time for reading, seeing friends, and getting enough sleep.
Are we seeing mental health impacts here among younger people? Are we seeing them be less happy as the screen time goes up?
That's exactly what we're seeing. So right around 2012, which is when smartphones became common, teen happiness began to fall. Their life satisfaction also began to fall. Even more concerning, right around that time, teen depression shot up, anxiety shot up, self-harm behaviors like cutting started to increase, and the teen suicide rate went up. So across the board, there's this very systematic pattern of right around 2011, 2012, something clearly went wrong in the lives of teens. And my best guess is that's because that was the tipping point when the majority had smartphones. They were spending a lot more time on social media and online and less time with each other in person. Also, when sleep deprivation started to go up. The trend for reading has been going on for a while, so that's probably not as involved in the trends in mental health.
I want to talk, I want to get your take on what maybe the healthcare fields can do about this. I know there's a project for infants and toddlers where, and there's a big Wisconsin component here, where doctors, pediatricians are putting books in their hands and taking it from there as part of their well-child visits. Do we need something like this for, I don't know, teens and tweens where healthcare providers are talking about screen time?
I think so, because it's true. A lot of those interventions tend to be focused on younger kids, and that's good, and we need those interventions at that age group. But in my view, we also need them for teens, because that's when screen time really goes through the roof. You know, little kids aren't on social media, and they're usually not texting their friends. They're not quite as likely to spend hours and hours and hours on computer games. But teens are, and there's so many teens who are spending enormous amounts of time on screens and thus probably not enough time on these other beneficial activities. So I think that's a conversation that a lot of healthcare providers need to have with parents and teens.
I've talked to child-raising experts who say the best way to teach a lesson to a kid is for a parent to model that lesson. We definitely see a lot of parents, people in older generations, with that phone in their hands. Could we, the older generations, be doing better to model reading and other healthy activities for kids?
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we all need to think about. So this idea of limiting screen time, that's not just for teens, that's for adults too. Some of the things around sleep that are so important, like no phones in the bedroom, don't be looking at your phone right before you go to bed. Adults need to do that, too, for their own health as well as to be good role models for their children. And then in terms of reading, that's often the thing that comes up as well, that when parents are reading and have books in the home, then that's an obvious encouragement for kids to read as well.
What is your best case outcome? Looking at the data, looking at your latest research, what are you hoping for this generation?
Well, I think there's some really good signs out there. So, you know, most of the book relies on these big surveys, but I also did some in-depth interviews with teens and young adults, and I was pleasantly surprised at how aware they are of this world. I thought perhaps that their attitude would be, hey, this is just the way things are now. Anybody who thinks differently is just old. But that was not their viewpoint. They can see many of the downsides of the way we live now, spending so much time on phones. They understand at a fundamental level that's not a good way to live. It's just it feels mandatory to them. It's often addictive, and they find it really tough to give up those hours and hours and hours on their phone, which is not shocking because a lot of older people do too. So that's why I think parents have to step in and just help their teens set limits. And, of course, there's some kids are going to have some resistance to that. Others are surprisingly receptive to the idea of, hey, there's going to be times when we're not going to have the phone around, and we can't have that in the bedroom and not at the dinner table and not when I'm hanging out with my friends.
We'll leave it there. Jean, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Absolutely.
Jean Twenge is a psychology professor at San Diego State University. She's the author of iGen, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood. We talked with her about her latest research showing that a third of teens haven't read a book for fun in the past year.